retirement and chapter, you know, it's a long one.
It's a long one, so feel free, as you will. It's Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. You shall not make for yourself idols, nor shall you set up for yourselves an image or a sacred pillar, nor shall you place a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. I shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season, so that the land will yield its produce, and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and the grape gathering will last until sowing time. You will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land. I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. And you will eat the old supply and clear out the old because of the new. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you should not be their slaves. And I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if indeed instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances, so as not to carry out all my commandments and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption, and fever that shall waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also you shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies shall eat it up. And I will set my face against you so that you shall be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when no one is pursuing you. If also after these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make your sky like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent uselessly. For your land shall not yield its produce, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you seven times according to your sins, and I will let loose among you the beasts of the field, which shall bereave you of your children and destroy your cattle and reduce your numbers so that your roads lie deserted. And if by these things you are not turned to me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with hostility against you, and I, even I, will strike you seven times for your sins. I will also bring upon you a sword which will execute vengeance for the covenant. And when you gather together into your cities, I will send pestilence among you, so that you shall be delivered into enemy hands. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and they will bring back your bread in rationed amounts, so that you will eat and not be satisfied. Yet if in spite of this you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me, then I will act with wrathful hostility against you, and I, even I, will punish you 7 times for your sins. Further, you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters you shall eat. I then will destroy your high places, and cut down your incense altars, and heap your remains on the remains of your idols. For my soul shall abhor you. I will lay waste your cities as well, and will make your sanctuaries desolate. And I will not smell your soothing aromas, and I will make the land desolate, so that your enemies who settle in it shall be appalled over it. You, however, I will scatter among the nations, and will draw out a sword after you, as your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths all the days of the desolation while you are in your enemy's land. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation it will observe the rest which it did not observe on your Sabbaths while you were living on it. As for those of you who may be left, I will also bring weakness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a driven leaf will chase them. And even when no one is pursuing, they will flee as though from the sword, and they will fall. They will therefore stumble over each other as if running from the sword, although no one is pursuing. And you will have no strength to stand up before your enemies, but you will perish among the nations, and your enemies' land will consume you. So those of you who may be left will rot away because of their iniquity in the lands of your enemies, and also because of the iniquities of their forefathers. They will rot away with them. If they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their forefathers and their unfaithfulness, which they committed against me, and also in their acting with hostility against me, I also was acting with hostility against them to bring them into the land of their enemies. Or if their uncircumcised heart becomes humbled, so that they then make amends for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember also my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham as well. And I will remember the land, for the land shall be abandoned by them, and shall make up for its Sabbaths, while it is made desolate without them. They, meanwhile, shall be making amends for their iniquity, because they rejected my ordinances, and their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, nor will I so abhor them as to destroy them, breaking my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will remember for them the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and ordinances and laws which the Lord established between himself and the sons of Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. Thus reads God's word. Leviticus 26:45. But I will remember for them the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. In this morning's readings, we have the encouragement of God to his people in detailing the blessings that would be fully theirs if they honored and obeyed God. He also detailed with very specific particulars what would be the result of their disobedience in the breaking of this covenant. The Lord never hid the truth, but made it very clear and very precise for his people as a means of showing them exactly what would happen as their hearts chose to seek after the ways of this world rather than after the ways of the Lord. One of the key aspects of this precision from God is that truth that we as humanity are so prone to forget God in our times of prosperity. When everything is flowing forward without issues, when we are prosperous, when the troubles and the problems are at bay, we tend to congratulate ourselves and to exalt our efforts and our hard work and our superior intellectual processes as the means of why we are on top of the world, so to speak. Then, when everything falls apart and crashes around us, we turn again to God, first blaming him for what has happened, and then crying out to him to save us. This pattern plays out time and time again in us. And this is one of the reasons that God was so specific with this outline of what was ahead for his people in their apostasy. The people could never come back to him and state that they had no clue what they were getting themselves into. He made it very clear and very concise from the beginning of their walk with him how everything would function and develop and turn out, both positively and negatively with regard to how they chose to conduct themselves before the Lord. What is so wonderful is the fact that despite the insincerity and the faithlessness and the adulterousness of His chosen people, God maintained His commitment, His covenant with His nation. He is the one who constantly remembered and reminded the people of His love for them with His continual care and keeping of them. Even when they were in the direst of situations, He was their God, and He was ruling and overruling according to the promise that He made to all those many centuries earlier in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, as we should remind ourselves. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relative and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Then in Genesis 17, 5 through 8, the Lord reinforced this covenant as He changed Abram's name to Abraham. Genesis 17, 5 through 8. "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." It was always God who kept His covenant promise in the manner of His working power, even when it seemed that the children of Israel had been abandoned to the slavery of Egypt. It was there, as announced in Exodus 2, 23 through 25, that God planned to show them just how much they meant to Him. He remembered His promise, as He is surely faithful. Exodus 2, 23 through 25. "Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them." After the Lord delivered His people from their slavery to Egypt, He cared for them, and He led them in the wilderness, and He reaffirmed His covenant with them through Moses, as recounted in Exodus 19. 3 through 6. Exodus 19, 3 through 6. "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine, And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." God continuously reminded his people of the fact that he was the one who had released them from their slavery to Egypt. He was the one who chose them, and he was the one who made them his people. He was the one who blessed them and protected them and went before them into battle. He was the one who made the covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and had done everything to maintain that covenant. He was the one who remembered that covenant and worked to fulfill all that it required, even when they were unfaithful and forgot to whom they belonged. "But I will remember for them the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord." No matter how they acted, God would work to bring them back to himself because he knew the course that had to be followed in order to bring forth his salvation, not just to the nation of his choosing, but to all humanity who would be so blessed through his work in their midst. As contained in the warning given by Moses in Deuteronomy 4:25-31, God reassured his people that even when they turned away from him and forsook him and suffered the consequences of that vile and adulterous behavior, he would not forget his covenant with them. Deuteronomy 4:25-31. "When you become the father of children and children's children and have remained long in the land and act corruptly and make an idol in the form of anything and do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord your God so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you shall surely perish quickly from the land where you are going over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not live long on it, but shall be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you shall be left few in number among the nations where the Lord shall drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God. And you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and listen to his voice. For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them." God knew exactly how his people would act and that they would turn away from his goodness and his grace and his provision, and they would seek to make their own way in this realm. They would choose to be just like the other nations surrounding them. It is the same way that we each try to deal with the issues of our life through our own means and our own methods. We turn our backs on God with faithlessness and avarice until we are brought face to face with who we are in our vile humanity. It is as God works to bring us into a living relationship with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in us, that we turn back to Him with all our hearts and minds and beings. It is all by the working love and ministry and effort of God Himself that we are brought through the worst of this age, our own selves, and made the divine partakers of His divine life. The prophet Ezekiel had much to say concerning the way that God would faithfully deal with His people, with even such as us. Please turn first of all to Ezekiel 16, verses 60 to 63, where we can rejoice together in the expressed truthfulness and compassion of God's Word to His people, to you and to me today. Ezekiel 16, verses 60 through 63. Ezekiel chapter 16. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your sisters, both your older and your younger, and I will give them to you as daughters, but not because of your covenant. Thus I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, in order that you may remember and be ashamed, and never open your mouth any more because of your humiliation, when I have forgiven you for all that you have done, the Lord God declares. When I have forgiven you for all that you have done. And that's the Lord God Himself declaring it. The Lord, through the prophet, promised not only that God would maintain that covenant, but that He would make His people also remember it. It would be done in a manner in which His forgiveness would bring about humility and repentance in His people. They would be ashamed of the way that they treated God and would know their humiliation was of their own doing. They would also recognize that despite their adulterous behavior, God had forgiven and brought forth His magnificent honor and glory. This is all ours in Jesus Christ as the means of that perfect forgiveness and redemption. And now please turn to Ezekiel 20, verses 8 through 22, as we will read this lengthy passage detailing exactly how the testimony of the Lord is foremost in the heart of God for the sake of His name in the midst of all the nations of the earth. Ezekiel chapter 20. It was not just Israel for whom He would work. This is a foreshadowing of the truth that God had far more in mind than just the salvation of one nation of people. His heart was after all humanity and would not allow that one nation to ruin His plan to bring forth the redemption of those in every tribe and people. Ezekiel 20, verses 8 through 22. But they rebelled against me and were not willing to listen to me, They did not cast away the detestable things of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I resolved to pour out my wrath on them, to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom they live, in whose sight I made myself known to them by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. So I took them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes and informed them of my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live. And also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, and they rejected my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live, and my Sabbaths they greatly profane. Then I resolved to pour out my wrath on them in the wilderness to annihilate them. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations, before whose sight I had brought them out. And also I swore to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they rejected my ordinances. And as for my statutes, they did not walk in them. They even profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart continually went after their idols. Yet my eye spared them rather than destroying them, and I did not cause their annihilation in the wilderness. And I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, or keep their ordinances, or defile yourself with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my ordinances, and observe them, and sanctify my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes, nor were they careful to observe my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live. They profaned my Sabbaths. So I resolved to pour out my wrath on them, to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. But I withdrew my hand and acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations in whose sight I had brought them out. Throughout all his dealings with this stubborn and prideful people, God was the one who honored his name's sake in their midst. In Deuteronomy 9, 5 and 6, Moses directly told them this before they entered the promised land. Deuteronomy 9, 5 and 6. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you're going to possess the land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. Everything was centered in the work that God was doing. This chosen nation, as we will consider next week, Lord willing, was the example of exactly why humanity could never save himself. Man needed a redeemer, as evidenced in the wickedness of a people that was so blessed in every measure by the Lord God Almighty, and yet could not honor him with obedience and fidelity. It was always God who had to remind them of his covenant promise to them. so be it. But I will remember for them the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. Amen.